You are listening to the OSP Talks podcast. As always, Will and Garrett are your hosts. We appreciate you listening today. We hope that wherever you are, that this podcast would challenge you and help you in your walk with the Lord. Let's take a look at what Will and Garrett have to say.
Guys, welcome to OSP Talks. Guys, we are so excited for you guys to be joining us today. Guys, as we go through James 4 today, please go back and listen to James 1 through 3, because we think they will be helpful, they will be edifying, they will be beneficial for you as you go throughout, as we go throughout the book of James into James 4 and James 5. So, guys, I'm thankful for Garrett. He is about to walk you guys through James 4. James 4 is a beautiful and edifying. It's just a gorgeous text that is really helpful to the believer and to the non-believer. And so Garrett's about to pull a lot of that out and hit you guys with some good stuff. Like we've always said, James really, really kind of almost just punches his readers in the face. And so I really think that's what he's going to do here in James 4. Guys, so again, we are so thankful and so grateful for you guys to be joining us. Here is Garrett, and as he goes through James 4.
Hey guys, it's Garrett. Thanks for listening. As Will said earlier, I'll be diving into James chapter 4. We've been going through James if you're just now joining, and so I appreciate you for listening. But I just wanted to kind of start off with this podcast doing a little bit different and just saying that this podcast isn't about Will. It's not about Garrett. It's not about myself. It's not about the listeners even. It's about glorifying God, and it's about two guys growing in their walk with the Lord day by day and helping others grow. And it's not about anything that I do or anything that Will does, but that we would grow, and that, Lord willing, that you would grow and that we'd glorify the Lord utmost. And that's our most important goal, is that we would glorify the Lord. And so as I go into James chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to James chapter 4. I'm excited. And as I've planned and kind of prayerfully considered and what I want to talk about, and just going through James chapter 4 verses 1 through 17, and just talking about living a life basically of holiness and avoiding worldliness. And so I'm excited. And so turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. We're just going to go verse by verse and kind of line by line through the passage. And so James chapter 4 verse 1 says this: "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you?" And I think it's really cool because James kind of just starts it off right off the bat here in James chapter 4. It's his second to last chapter of this epistle that he's writing, and it's really exciting. And, chapter 5 goes into warning to the rich, but we see in chapter 3, we see that the power of the tongue and taming the tongue and wisdom from above. And as we go into James chapter 4, there's this kind of transition here. In verse 17 of 3, it says this: "But wisdom from above is first pure, that is peaceable, gentle, open to reason, and full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And that was 17 and 18. And that's just kind of a transition into chapter 4 here. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not your passions at war within you? Guys, as sin has come into the world through Adam, and all men have sinned, we see our passions at a display every day, day in, day out, because our passions are ultimately what rule us. You have time for what you hunger for. You pursue what you love, and you love what you pursue. And so that's honestly in James chapter 4, James is writing, and as he writes, it's just so powerful. you know, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Verse 2, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And it's just very powerful, I think, just to see that, like, our passions are powerful. You know, but we serve a God who is more powerful than our own passions and our own desires. And as we pursue Him, our desires will line up. And our pursuit and our love and our passions will become His passions and His pursuit and His love. And our knowledge will be from Him and our wisdom will be from above. And it's just kind of cool because verse 17, it says, of chapter 3, it says this, but wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. Guys, when we're fighting, we're not open to reason. You know, when we are fighting, we're not full of mercy and good fruits. We're not being impartial. We're not being sincere. You know, we're being selfish, and we're fighting our fellow Christians. And that's sad. It's sad to see. And, you know, verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you are wrongly to spend it on your passions. You know, when we line ourselves up with the gospel, we walk a line that is worthy of the gospel, and we live a life that is worth Christ dying for, our passions are what Christ would want. Our pursuits will be what Christ wants and what the Lord ultimately wants. And so, don't think, oh, whatever I ask of God, He'll give it to me. You know, I can live a great life if I just ask it to Him. If you're asking wrongly, your passions overrule why you're asking, then you're ultimately, God's not going to do that and give that to you because He doesn't have to, or He doesn't need to, and ultimately you're just using it to glorify yourself at that time. In verse 4 it says, you adulterous people, do you not know that the friendship with the world is an intimacy with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't know. This verse right here just kind of makes me think, why do we sin? You know, because sin is fun, and we pursue that, and we want to pursue sin. But I can guarantee you, when you pursue sin, you put on your flesh and you are walking in darkness, and you become an enemy of something that is light, something that is good, something that is perfect, something that is holy. And that's ultimately the Lord. You know, when you're walking in darkness, it's hard to see the light. But when we're walking in the light, obviously it's blinding, you know, and it's so bright. And the Lord is so convicting. And so verse 4, I think it's just such a smack in the face, and I appreciate James just being so real and genuine right here. You adulterous people, with an exclamation point. Like, man, when I read that, it is hard, you know, because it's hard to see, you know, because we are sinners, and we fall short. And we need to befriend God rather than the world. And this verse is not saying that God hates the world. He hates the passions and the pursuit of the world. He doesn't hate the people in the world. So yet He hates the bitterness and clamor and anger and false truth and you know, stupidity and demonic powers and stuff like that. He hates, obviously. But He loves what is pure, what is peaceable, what is gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, the good fruits from the Holy Spirit. You know, and just, it's so challenging. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. And so this passage isn't saying that God ultimately hates the people in the world. God loves the sinner and hates the sin that the sinner does. And so, and that was verse 4. But verse 5 says this: "Or do you suppose it is not to propose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us?" Guys, the Lord has crafted the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. You know, I mean, when we trust Christ, he's there. You know, the Holy Spirit is a helper suitable for us to help glorify and to intercede on our behalf and to pray to the Father and pray to the Son. And it's just so powerful, the Spirit is. And so verse 6 says this: "But he gives more grace. Therefore, it will draw near to you." I'm sorry, but he says, verse 6, "But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So I'm just going to jump back up to 6 here, and it says, "But he gives more grace." Guys, even though we might fail and we might obtain those passions more so than the Lord, God gives more grace. His mercies and grace are new every morning. God has paid it all on the cross. And just ultimately, we have to go to the Lord and give everything to him at the cross each and every day. And we have to take up our cross and deny ourselves and pursue the Lord after him. And it's just such a powerful verse. "But he gives more grace. Therefore," it says, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And I think it's just so important because he gives more grace, but he gives grace to the humble. Guys, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that you might proclaim his name and live a life worthy of the gospel. Guys, that is so awesome. And I think it's awesome to see verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Guys, our God is the creator. He is sovereign and he's ultimately in control. And when we submit ourselves to God and we are humble under him, guys, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I think oftentimes it's hard, you know, in life. It's, you know, we're so busy and we're moving constantly. And, you know, there's this constant go, 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 go. But there's never this stop and realization of, God, you are powerful. You are sovereign. You are in control. God, I need to submit myself to you. God, help me resist the devil because I want him to flee from me. You know, it doesn't say resist the devil and he might flee from you. It says resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, but you can only do that if we submit ourselves under God. You know, God will give us grace only if we're humble. And God will help us resist the devil only if we submit to God. You know, and when we're submitting to God, we're going to resist the devil. It's kind of this two-way street here. It just goes back and forth, I think. And it's on like a, to me, it's on like a scale. It's just, you know, they're both equal. You know, you resist the devil, you're going to submit to God. If you submit to God, you're going to resist the devil. And ultimately, verse 8 says this: "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Guys, when we pursue God, he will pursue us. Guys, we need to cleanse our hands. We need to purify our hearts because, you know, there's not a day that you might not think a bad thought. You know, there, or you might do a bad action or whatever it might be. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. You know, ask God for those new mercies each and every day. Ask for forgiveness. You know, purify your heart. you know, go to the Lord with a humble heart. You know, it takes humility to own up to your mistakes. God already knows that you've already sinned, but he needs you to ask for forgiveness so he can forgive you. You know, it's not, he's just gonna, oh yeah, you just keep sinning, I'll forgive you no matter what kind of thing. You have to ask for forgiveness. You know, in verse 9 it says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Guys, when we are in sin, we need to be wretched and we need to mourn and we need to weep over that. And we need to pursue God and we need to come to the foot of the cross and give everything to the Lord. Guys, we need to draw near to God and he will draw near to us. We need to let our laughter be turned to mourning because our sin isn't something to laugh about. It's not something to just boast and put it out there for the world and say, hey, look at me, I'm a sinner. You know, that's great. But ultimately, we shouldn't be saying, hey, look at me, I'm so proud, I'm in my sin. You know, we can own up to our sin and say, hey, I'm a sinner. You know, I've fallen short of the glory of God and I'm a sinner saved by grace, living my life in pursuit to glorify the Lord. You know, we can say that, but I wouldn't go as far to say, oh, I'm in my sin, look at me. You know, I think that's kind of what this verse is saying. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. And don't forget that he gives more grace to the humble. So it says, and it's just kind of a remembrance here, I think, of what he stated up here in verse, I think it's 6. But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud and gives more grace to the humble. And so that's just an awesome thing. Like verse 6 and kind of 10 kind of go together. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Guys, not only when we are humble under the Lord and we submit ourselves under the Lord, he gives grace to us, but he exalts us, you know? And I think that's an awesome characteristic of the Lord, that he loves his children who love him, you know? And he loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to pursue him. You know, I think it's just such a cool relationship that we can have with the Father when we are humble and we submit ourselves to the Lord. Verse 11 says, do not speak an evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Verse 12, therefore is only one lawgiver, a judge. He who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Guys, don't bear false witness against your brothers. Don't your brothers or sisters, your neighbors. You know, this word brothers isn't just, you know, your biological family. You know, it's your Christian brother, your biological family, it's your neighbor. You know, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. You know, and he's saying, do not speak evil against one another. That's everyone. You know, we should never put somebody down. We should only give word that is for correction, reproof, and edifying, you know, and glorifying to the Lord. You know, and he just says, the one who speaks against a brother or a judge judges his brother, speaks evil against the law, and judges the law. You know, who are you to speak evil of someone when you are just the grade of sinner as they are? You know, you are the chief of sinners just as much as they are. You know, and no sin is greater. No sin is greater than the other. And while we are in sin, who are we to say, who is this person? And speak evil of them. Why we're out of sin, who are we? You know, we are not the judge. The Lord is ultimately the judge. And it is not our place. It says, but if you judge the law, you are not the doer of the law, but a judge. Guys, we need to fulfill the law. In Matthew 7, verse 1, it says, judge not that you be judged. Guys, when we judge, we will be judged, even severely, you know, and it's just so, so powerful when we judge others, because it's not our place to judge. And I'd rather be a doer of the law than a judge of the law, because it's not my place of judging. You know, I should never condemn somebody because it's not my place. I don't have that power. I don't have that authority, you know, and, you know, I think oftentimes we're guilty of this. Oh, why would they do that? You know, why would this person go to that liquor store? Why would they do this? Why? You know, and we sit there and we forget that we have sinned earlier that day, or that we've just sinned, or, you know, maybe we sinned the day before or whatever. But honestly, we are not the person to judge. And it says that this in verse 12, therefore is only one lawgiver and one judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but you are to judge. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And it's just, he just restates it. There's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and our God, our Father, you know. And ultimately, that's not us. You know, it says, but who are you to judge your neighbor? We're not. We're nobody. You know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you know. And I think that's so powerful. And here in verse 13, it kind of transitions into boasting about tomorrow. And it says, come now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Here's a very powerful verse. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do it and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Guys, and I think this is a powerful verse 13 here. You know, I kind of finished out the chapter, verses 13 through 17, and it's just kind of boasting about tomorrow. But verse 13 says this, you know, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Guys, is that the will of the Lord, that we might just go wherever and be tossed to and fro, you know, and just go wherever you want? And ultimately, is that what the Lord wants? You know, and I think James wants us to realize that it's not our decision to say, oh, well, I'm going to go to, you know, this place and I'll do what I want because I have this free choice. You know, ultimately, we need to submit ourselves to the Lord, and we need to humble ourselves and ask the Lord, Lord, if you permit this, may I do it? You know, may I go where you want me to go? Lord, help me to line my thoughts up with you. And that kind of goes back up to, you know, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your own passions. You know, don't pursue your own passions on where to go or what to do. And don't worry about tomorrow, for the Lord holds tomorrow. You know, when we ask the Lord and we are in his will, you know, ultimately he will give us those choices and those decisions to make when we line ourselves up. You know, but it's not our choice to say, oh, we're going to go here, you know, without even seeking the Lord's face. And I think that's kind of what James is trying to say here in verse 13. And it says, verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And I think it's just so important, this verse 14 here. They're all important, but this one really kind of stood out to me, verse 14, because our life is a mist. You know, our life is a mist, and we are not the one to judge. you know? And so when we are judging, you know, our life is a mess. And at the end of the day, does that judgment really matter when we give judgment? You know, our hands are dirty. Our cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You know, our life is a mist. Are you living a life worthy of your mist? You know, is your mist rubbing off and touching somebody else? You know, I just kind of think of this time, you know, you ever go to a carnival kind of thing, and it's super hot out, and you're walking, and I'm just thinking of like those big fans with the misters on them, and it's super refreshing when you're standing in the mist. But as soon as you walk outside of that fan and that blowing, you know, there's no more mist, and it's not refreshing anymore. It's gone. It's like, boom, as soon as it was there, it's gone. You know, and ultimately that's what our life is. You know, when you're in the fan, you're misting and you're blowing and you're doing what is right, and sometimes it doesn't even reach you. You know, sometimes you're like, man, I wish that mist would reach me. You know, and you're like, man, what's the point of that? That mist is pointless. You know, don't be a pointless misting fan that blows on you or barely gets you at Six Flags. Okay, be somebody that drenches somebody. You want to have an impact for the gospel. You know, you want to have an impact for the Lord, and you want to go out and glorify the Lord. You know, and don't be just somebody who's barely going to touch the surface. Be somebody who's going to glorify the Lord in everything they say and do. And so when that mist vanishes, they see a legacy of Christ. They see his footsteps through you and through your life that you lived. Because it does vanish. It vanishes quickly into thin air, and it's not there anymore. And I think our lives, you know, oftentimes as Christians, we don't look at that in a way where it should be glorifying to the Lord, because it's all about me and my selfish passions, my pursuits, and what I want to do, and living a life of worldliness. When, as Christians, we are supposed to stand out against worldliness. Verse 15 says this: instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Guys, ask the Lord and seek his face and say, Lord, if you allow me to do this, Lord, help me to do this. Lord, help me to accomplish your will. Help me to live out a life that you want me to live, and help me to do this or that you are calling me to do. And as I finish the chapter here in verse 16 and 17, it says this: as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Guys, verse 16 and 17 are standout verses. This whole passage of just chapter 4 is just such a powerful chapter of James, and I think the whole book of James just kind of smacks you in the face. But when you break it down, you know, verses 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Just don't boast in your arrogance. The only thing we should boast in is the name of Christ. Guys, when we boast in our arrogance and our passions and our pleasures and our pursuits and our worldliness, it's evil. You know, and earlier it talked about you make an enemy of the Lord. You make an enemy of God. Guys, walk in the newness of life that God has called you into. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Guys, don't do the wrong thing. Or don't do, by not doing the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing. So don't do the wrong thing. Pursue the Lord. Line yourself up to the gospel. Line yourself up to Christ and live a life worth Christ dying for. And so that's James chapter 4. And I hope I kind of helped you understand that a little bit more. It's been awesome to just go through James chapter 4, and I hope that this kind of blessed you. But guys, as we look at our life and we look through a lens of the Bible and of the gospel and what God wants us to do. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sincerely don't. Worry about today and having an impact for the gospel for today. See who you can reach today with the gospel. Guys, it's so powerful that we understand the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's simply Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead according to the scriptures. You know, and we know that. And we know that by grace, we have been saved through faith alone, through Christ alone. And guys, there's not any work or anything that we can do that we should boast in. In Matthew 6, 34, it says this: "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And like I said, don't worry about tomorrow. Like James says, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. And reach and have a meaningful impact for the kingdom of the Lord. Every day when I was in high school, I would walk out the door to the bus stop or to my car, and my dad would say, "Walk with the Lord and be a blessing." Guys, who can you be a blessing today to? Who can you show that you're walking with the Lord? You know, and I think walking with the Lord is challenging. It's not always easy. You know, but when we line ourselves up, it becomes easy because our passions become His passions. Our pleasures become His pleasures. And so the more you do it, the easier it is. You know, and Aristotle would say the more you do it and develop that habit, it becomes a virtue. And so you, to quote a great ancient philosopher, you know, who might have had a couple things wrong, you know, develop a habit of being in the Word and pursuing the Lord and chasing after the things of the Lord, because you'll become virtuous through that, you know? And so I thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And I just pray that this would have a meaningful impact on you today. Thank you.
Wow, Garrett, that was a great, great job going through this great letter of James and this great chapter of James. Guys, the verse that stuck out with me the most is verse 7, which says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." This is such a beautiful, and it's kind of like the whole book, the whole letter of James here is really beautiful literary elements that are persuaded throughout here. But right here, I mean, it's just James right here is kind of giving just the basis of the gospel. Right, because he says, you know, submit yourselves therefore to God. We need to resist the devil, and then, you know, jump down to verse, you know, 8. Verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And so, this is just a beautiful, beautiful picture that James is going through as you are, Garrett, just greatly go through this. This is just a beautiful verse telling us to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. And I think this is kind of a difficult thing to do. When James is writing this, I don't think he's saying it as it's like this super easy thing that we could just, you know, we're always doing. I think it's kind of a difficult thing because our nature is to sin, right? We have a sin nature. And so resisting the devil, resisting that sin is a hard thing to do. But that's what James is saying here. James is saying, guys, we have to submit ourselves to God. We have to submit ourselves to God. We have to give everything to God. Give everything to God. And we have to resist the devil. We have to resist the sin. We have to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then we have to draw near to God. Kind of the same, submit yourselves. So kind of like almost become humble. Submit yourselves. And then draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And this is something that we all need to do. We all need to do constantly. You know, even after salvation, right? We believe that you do not lose your salvation if you truly, truly believe in Christ and you believe in the gospel. But even now, that still does not make you, you're not a sinner anymore. You still are a sinner. And that's what James is saying here, guys. Even though, you know, we submit to God, we resist the devil, we draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And then we still have to cleanse our hands. We still have to ask for forgiveness. And you'll hear next week in James 5, kind of he goes more into this. But you still have to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Just because you walked down the aisle, just because you prayed some prayer, just because you did all of this and all that, does not mean you're just the best thing to hit the earth and you're not a sinner anymore. You're still a sinner. You still struggle. Just like I said earlier, we all have a sin nature. And so this is James saying, hey, guys, we have to cleanse our hands because we are sinners. We are, some of us, the worst of the worst. We're sinners. Draw near to God. Submit yourself to God. We cleanse our hands because we're sinners, but then we also need to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, because this will help us to turn away from that sin. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Pray with me. Father God, we do love you. God, I am thankful for my brother Garrett as he went through greatly your brother James's letter here, chapter 4. God, we are so thankful. God, I pray, God, that you would help us submit ourselves to you. God, that we would humble ourselves to you. God, that we would cleanse our hands from these sins that we constantly commit. God, that we would radically turn away from these things. God, and draw near to you, God, because we know that your word says that when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. God, I pray for our listeners, God, their hearts, whatever's going on in their life. God, that you would help them. God, that you would help them draw near to you, submit themselves to you. God, that they would cleanse their hands because we are sinners. God, we love you so much. In your perfect and holy name only. Amen.